So this week's scripture reading was long. Raise your hand if you agree. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And you're not saying amen to the scripture. You're saying amen to it was really long. Just imagine if I'd read the whole thing and didn't skip a few verses. It was hard to edit out things because it's all like this story that moves on there. If you sit and read it in one setting, it is a deep and moving story, even though it tends to go on for a long time. And we're used to, you know, 2-minute scripture readings in church. But what's in here is plans from different characters in the story. Plans, like, well, planning, it can have a negative connotation, like plotting. And there's a lot of plotting going on in this story. But it can also have more of a positive connotation, like planning to do something, a strategy for getting something done. We all make plans. Consider the plans of some of these characters, like the chief priests. These are the leaders who wanted to capture, discredit, and just do away with Jesus. They also wanted any kind of following Jesus had to evaporate, to disappear. That was their plotting. In their sense, it was their planning. Judas, he's a complicated character. Really, when I read that, and you read that he repented, I think that Judas really wanted to smoke Jesus out. And by doing that, like, he wanted him to be the warrior that came into town and fixed things. And I think that he looked at Jesus, the Messiah, as the one who was going to fix things. And he said, well, if I smoke him out and he has to show that, then everything will work right. And it didn't work out so well for him. So he returned the money. Some people think Judas was just, you know, bad guy, and that he was really, really greedy. And I think that you can read the Bible and see both of those characters in there. Then Jesus. I think Jesus knew what he was doing. He had been laying low for quite a while, preaching in the little towns, doing some healings there, building a following. People would follow him and they would listen to him. But he hadn't gone to the big city yet. Now he was going into the big city. He was in the big city. And he was sure to be noticed. And we see from Palm Sunday on, he got noticed. Peter. I think Peter wanted to be a hero. His plan was to save Jesus at all costs. Whatever you need, Jesus, I am your man. Things didn't work out so well for him either. And then there's Caiaphas. He's mentioned in there, and I think he, like the other priests, he wanted to discredit. He wanted to do away with Jesus. He didn't want there to be a Jesus that anybody knew anything about or cared about. And there's Pilate. In some ways you can look at it. Pilate wanted a way out of this whole crucifixion thing. I wash my hands of it. I don't see any reason why I should do this, but if you want it, I'll do it. I'll let it be done. That's one way you could look at Pilate. Sort of just, I don't care, whatever the people want in this case. He said that he would let Barabbas go. And the Bible here calls him a notorious prisoner. Barabbas was, the best way to describe him is a terrorist. He was the kind of guy that blew things up to get his point across. And they wanted him. So the people really, really wanted Jesus to be crucified. I don't know how that all works and why they were, you know, driven that way and why they thought that way. But Pilate, I think, wanted to just let that happen without him having anything to do with it. But other people think that Pilate really wanted it to happen, and he was a manipulator, and he just manipulated the whole situation so he could get it done. Then there's the soldiers. Their plans, I think, were to discredit and do away with any Jesus movement too. But other ways to look at it, we've heard this before, maybe they were just doing their job, and their job involved doing all that stuff. This is what you did to prisoners. You mocked them. When their lives were ending, you took away all honor from them because that was the soldier's job. Then there's the Marys and some other women. I think that their plan was to see that Jesus was neither forgotten nor belittled. They were there and they wanted to get into the tomb later. And they were there to watch Jesus, a mourning group of people remembering someone that they loved. And they were public about it. Then there's Joseph of Arimathea. I think he had a plan to protect Jesus' reputation, or at least to give Jesus' family dignity. And then the Pharisees, same for the priests. We give the Pharisees a bad rap. They saw Jesus as a false Messiah, as a false the one. And their job was to make sure that anyone who was false didn't get a following. And if they did have a following, that following was quenched. Squelched? There's a good word. Squelched. Unfortunately, as Jesus showed them a few times in the Bible, they missed the real thing when it was right in front of them. But they thought they were doing the right thing. I don't think that they had this nastiness about them, a general nastiness. They thought that Jesus was false. They missed the truth. But they didn't want the people to be duped. And instead, they were duped by trying to squelch what was the truth. At the Good Friday service this Friday at St. John's Lutheran Church, we're going to experience some of the emotions of some of these characters. And I hope that as you're part of that service this Friday, that you'll have some time to contemplate the humanity of the characters, that you'll have some time to contemplate questions like this, like, how are we like these characters? Because I think there are times where we're like all of them. And how are we different from the characters? Because I hope that there are times where we're different from some of the characters. How do we act just like them? How are we completely different? A big question for today, for Palm Sunday, is how do we go, or how often have we gone from celebrating Jesus, waving palms, blessed is the one who comes in the name of Lord, hail Jesus, you're my King, to wishing Jesus would just go away because Jesus is kind of motivating us to do stuff that we don't want to do. I don't want to love people that I don't love. How often have we gone from being overjoyed with Jesus' presence in our lives, mountaintop experiences, they're wonderful, they're great, and then feeling empty and alone so soon afterwards? I think that we all have part of each of these characters at our very center. We wish faith could be simplified into a list of rules. Do this, don't do this. And I think that the mystery of God's love for everybody, the mystery of just God, is much more complicated. It makes us nervous. It makes us wish things were easier. I think we have part of these characters in our being by deciding exactly who Jesus is. This is who I think Jesus is, and then we try to mold Scripture. We try to mold what we say. We try to force Jesus into our interpretations. I think we have great aspirations sometimes about following Jesus, and no matter what we do, we say we're going to follow Jesus, and then what do? We fail. I think we have part of these characters in our being when we throw up our arms at injustice and say, you know what, there is nothing I can do, so why even try? I think sometimes we do our jobs even when our faith conflicts. But hopefully, sometimes, often, or maybe even always, we can look on all God's children, the way the Marys did, the way Joseph did, and treat all with dignity, and treat all with respect. So this week, you get to ask. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday we got a service, and you'll think of some other things. And then Friday, you'll think of some other things that are hopefully related here. Then Sunday, we get to think of some other things and celebrate. But this week, we can ask, how do we act most like the chief priests? How do we act most like Judas? How do we act most like Jesus? When do we act most like them? When do we act most like Peter and Caiaphas and Pilate and the soldiers and the Marys and Joseph of Arimathea? When do we act most like the Pharisees? And what do we do when we act like those? I wonder what kind of hidden, or what kind of unknown, or maybe even well-thought-out plan do we have? What kind of hidden, well-thought-out, unknown plan are we carrying out? then a question for the week. How can we look ahead? How can we spend our time seeking God's way, living in faith, and doing what that faith asks of us? I know it's hard to figure that out. What does my faith ask of me? And what? I don't know. You know, it's complicated, and it is. Our faith is complicated, but we can still think about it. We can ask for guidance. We can ask a friend. We can look into our Bible. We can call someone and say, I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to go on this. And I think that God has a way of revealing God's will in those ways. How can we look ahead, spending our time seeking God's way, living in faith, and asking and doing what that faith asks of us? Here's something that I know that faith asks of us. It asks us to seek justice. It asks us to love kindness. It asks us to walk humbly before God. That's three good things to do. Seeking justice, loving kindness, walking humbly before God. It's from the Old Testament book of Micah 6:8. How can we do that? I guess we trust. I guess we ask God for that guidance. We ask God to help us. We lean on a brother or sister. We ask questions. We think. We contemplate. We ask the question, how are we living our lives looking for an opportunity? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the celebration of Palm Sunday, the celebration of Easter to come. Thank you for a week of reflection, to remember the events leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection, to remember through Easter eyes the celebration that we have coming. In Jesus' name, amen.